All right, guys, we're here with episode 3 of the podcast by Devaney.
Absolutely. We're so excited.
We have a special guest today.
We do. So we have Leslie Calhoun. She is the general manager at Bakery Barn here in Pittsburgh, PA. And excited to have you, Leslie.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
So where exactly is Bakery Barn?
We are just outside of Pittsburgh. We're actually in Pleasant Hills. Okay. If you're familiar with that area, we are about a mile from the Century 3 Mall, which is no more, I think. So, but we're about a mile from there, not real far from the city.
And what does Bakery Barn specialize in?
We specialize in protein-fortified baked bars, cookies, and brownies. So everything we do is nutrition-based. The name, a lot of times, people will think we make confectionery products. We actually don't. Everything we make is nutrition-based, protein-fortified, but it's all in ready-to-eat form. So we don't do any pills or powders, no supplements.
Okay, awesome. We got the pills and powders thing covered over here.
You guys handle that. Yeah.
All right, so the first couple episodes, we've been talking about Devaney's background and where she started from as a chef, going into finding a need for better nutrition in the market.
Yep.
We definitely want to hear your story. And your background's not even in fitness and in supplements or dietary nutrition. What's your background?
So my career background is not in health and nutrition, but as a hobbyist, that's kind of how I started in the industry. So my actual professional background, though, is I went to college for business. I'm a Penn Stater. And so out of college, started in a few different business management positions and then transitioned into corporate buying and then became acquainted with Sean actually through one of his family members. And he had an opportunity there at Bakery Barn at the time. The company was very small. So I started working in sales, which was interesting because I was in buying, but then went to the other side of the relationship in sales at Bakery Barn. And again, we were very small at that time. So kind of just learned my way around the company because I could. We were, again, it was so small, you know.
Oh, that's the greatest way to learn, right?
Absolutely.
From the ground up.
Yes, absolutely. So it was an amazing opportunity and was able to learn the company from, you know, sort of the more humble beginnings and then grow with the company now over the past 7+ years.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
So when was your first expo?
Oh, my goodness. I want to say it was probably the Arnold about 6 years ago.
Okay, so you got into the expo scene around the same time that I did.
Yep.
I think my first one was 2012.
Okay.
I was walking around bored out of my mind.
Bored.
There was no music. There were just a bunch of bodybuilders sitting behind 6-foot tables with signature cards, right? Someone would come up, they would shake their hand, and you know they would get a signature card, and some of them would charge, right? Mm-hmm. And that was it. That's what the whole show was. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely a male-dominated expo-like vision. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah.
So have you seen the industry change since the 6-7 years that you've been in it?
Very much. So, now you walk the expo, and there's so many women, not just, you know, booth babe type of positions, but there's powerful women who are owning companies, who are leading companies, who are, athletes there. So, yeah, I see such a more balance between male and female.
Product-wise, the products are so different. They're not male-dominated. There's a lot of wellness products on the market, a lot of health and nutrition that truly is ingredient-based and raw material-based for just healthier living rather than the artificial colors and flavors and... You know.
I'd almost say you're welcome. Yeah. I did come out with the first female fat burner on the game, right? But
totally agree, Devaney.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So, Devaney, from your experience, because you're the founder, right, and business owner, mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think was the starkest change in the past decade?
Well, I mean, I would like to say that we made a difference in this segment, right? We were the first all-natural gluten-free brand on the market. We were the first brand to really be female-focused. We took a label and it was kind of just fun and not intimidating. You know, when we started this line, you know, the industry was very, very different. You had the huge biceps or the greasy abs on a label. There were no wellness products. But, you know, I guess the education for natural products and natural foods and eating real food kind of helped spark the growth of this wellness industry, you know, and it kind of just steamrolled. I think everyone was tired of not having a choice. And, you know, us being on that forefront and being creative and giving people a choice and then allowing like gluten-free foods to come out and better ingredients and better recipes and better products, it really was just very enlightening and fantastic to see.
Okay. I mean, thank you, right? Forget about thanking me. Thank you for doing what you did.
Right.
But, I mean, let's talk about product development, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these gluten-free options. I'm sure in bars you see all sorts of crazy requests. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
How does product formulation work over at Bakery Barn?
For our product formulation, so everything we're making now, I would say 98% of it is gluten-free. There's a very small percentage that we make that are older customers, older products that there's still a demand for that are non-gluten-free. But what's funny is when I started at Bakery Barn 7 years ago, in bars, we had a very difficult time formulating delicious products that were gluten-free.
Right.
And so our mindset was, it either can't be done or it's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was so many prohibiting factors. And now, 7 years later, here we are. And we would make everything gluten-free if we could. Again, we have some older customers and older products that there's still demand for that we make. So for us, and we've seen such a shift, to your point, in consumers and our clients, so, you know, business to business, with more education. So.
Right. And I think it's also great that just the raw material providers, the amount of options that they have now, you know, that need for better quality products really put an emphasis on the raw material providers to say, what else can be done? How many more options are out there? How can we think outside of the box and think of things like, you know, cassava flour, you know, or using like nut-based flours or, you know, oat flours, and getting things out of products that were always around but never used in any kind of way. You know, I mean, here we are. It was 11 years ago. I was making bars out of really great products. And I mean, we were selling 600 plus bars a week out of a private gym that had like no memberships. You know, I mean, that's insane. That's insane. I mean,
just keeping the lights on.
Right. Just keep the lights on. And I could have sold peanut butter cookies left and right. And or the oatmeal bar. I mean, the oatmeal bar was and still is an amazing product. Right. We don't sell it anymore. I just kind of hand out that recipe to some of my favorites. And, you know, but I mean, it really did put an emphasis on the raw material suppliers to come out with bigger and better products.
Leslie heard that, right? If we're her favorite, we get the oatmeal bars, right?
Listen, that thing's like money. It's gold, that recipe.
Okay, speaking of gold, have you guys ever gotten any crazy requests? The craziest request I've gotten since like the year that I've been here is they wanted gold flakes in the protein.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? And like, forget protein farts.
That's a new
they
one.
Wanted,
That's
they
a
wanted,
new one.
They wanted gold poop. That's what
yeah.
they wanted.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you want Goldschlager, but protein?
Right, right.
Like, really? I mean, what's the craziest request you've gotten in Bakery Bar?
You know, so some crazy ones, but some of the hardest ones are when you have a client that maybe doesn't understand food science and they want the profile of like a powder, but they want it in a bar. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the harder circumstances to deal with, because you have that education piece mm-hmm. that you have to do. But yeah, definitely some crazy requests. But again, the harder ones are where the client may not understand the background of the food science.
Right. I tell Encore all the time, if I can cut out a square of air and put that into a bar shape, like I'm going to be a millionaire.
Yes.
Because everybody wants zero carbs, zero calories,
right.
and they want it to taste like a Snickers bar.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No big deal. Right.
Really.
But just give me a Snickers bar without any of the good stuff.
Right.
I think there's that video on YouTube with the grandma who's like, I'm making this cake for my grandchild. It's like, there's no sugar, no fun. Like, how am I supposed to do? There's no flour. Like
right.
what are these kids thinking?
Or when you read the bars and it's like gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, all natural, non-GMO, no sugars, no fiber, no carbs, no this, no that. It's got like a list of 12 things it doesn't have. And the first question to my mind is, so what's it made out of?
Right.
Right? It's like nothing.
Okay, so let's take a second and explain to people what the difference is between a baked bar and an extruded bar.
Okay, so we have two different manufacturing styles. So we have extrusion and then we have a sheeting line at our plant. Actually, both of those lines we have baking capabilities on. So even the extruded products we can put through an oven and bake. And then on our sheeting line we have a giant, it's a very large band oven where the products will run through and bake. So we don't make a lot of cold pressed or cold extruded bars anymore. All of our clients come to us actually for baking.
Yeah, so the extruded bars are raw. They're not baked in
exactly.
any way. It's just
yep.
a raw food bar. Not, I shouldn't say a raw food bar. It's just ingredients that don't get any heat added to them.
Are there any brands out there that are good examples of both sides?
As far as products that we make, we're actually not making any non-baked right now. I did have a customer that had, it was like an oatmeal-based, kind of whole food sort of type mm-hmm. of bar. Not a high level of protein, and that was a non-baked, and that was their preference. And then a lot of bars that we make right now are baked, so Fit Crunch is a good example.
Oh, delicious.
That's a great bar. Thank you. Yeah.
Robert Irvine's brand, yep. right? Yeah, that's a great brand.
Yeah, we're really proud of that product.
And I think Quest is probably a good example of an extruded bar, right?
Quest is perfect.
That's a great popular example.
Okay. Yep. Sweet. Yeah. All right. So let's jump into females in the industry. All right. I need to hear some stories.
Okay.
What have you guys seen? I know it's, you know, there's all sides to this. There's the dark. There's the good. Let's try and teeter the line kind of in the middle and let us know some stories where you feel like being a woman really gave you an opportunity to get ahead, right? Not the stuff where it held you back, because let's face it, right? Both of you guys are people that kind of broke the ceiling in certain areas in your own industries. But let's talk about the times where being a woman gives you a different perspective, right? As a man, there's only so much that you know about products, and you know, if you're selling product to a female, to try and explain to her, like, you know, this is what you should take and this for these reasons. But let's face it, you guys are wired differently.
Absolutely, we are. You know, when we first started this, women really were just an object, you know, and they had a role, and that role was to wear a tight shirt and show the assets that you have and, you know, shake it for the moneymakers when they come to the table, so to speak. So
that's my job now.
Right. So that the roles are reversed at SDC, because that is your job. You do shake it for the moneymakers. So it's been really great, right? So as we started our ambassadors and affiliates and whatnot for About Time, it's been really, really exciting to watch these ladies and gentlemen, right? But mostly the ladies who have come to us just to, you know, be that booth girl at the beginning, and to watch them grow their business and develop their business, and some of them to become really big powerhouse type of individuals and really successful, and to sell their own businesses. I can bring one. She's not a huge name, but, you know, she always sits in the back of my mind, and it's Chanel Carter. You know, she's an amazing person. She's self-educated, and she never stops. Like, she wants a brand. She wants her brand to be her, and she's taken herself from just being an everyday girl to being a rock star in the fitness industry. And she's just, you know, everything about her is just on point. And she's exciting, you know. But I mean, I don't know about you, Leslie, but it's been really great just to see women kind of take over that sales role, and to take over, you know, more and more ownership in companies and being able to lead. And, you know, I'm in a different spot, right? Like, I'm really thankful for my business partner. You know, my business partner, Sean, you know, he has supported me from day one. And, you know, when we started this, guys didn't do that kind of thing, you know. So he was always, Sean has a vision, right? And his vision is way beyond where we are. And, you know, he gave me the strength and the opportunity and helped build me to where I needed to become successful on my own and to understand a male-driven, you know, industry. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. You know, he gave me the confidence. You know, he helped build my confidence in becoming who I am.
So now, you know, we mentioned Sean. You guys both have a different Sean, right?
We
so
do, yep. I have a Sean also.
You have a Sean here that's the founder, and there's a different Sean here. Mm-hmm. So what about your experiences?
So actually, a lot of similarities, Devaney. Mm-hmm. So in my situation, when I started working at Bakery Barn, our office, we probably had just maybe 12 to 15 employees in the office. And early on, there was a time where I was the only woman mm-hmm. working in the office. And I was not yet in a leadership position. I was working in sales, so I was an important part of the organization. But I wouldn't say that I was, you know, necessarily in a leadership position. And of course, right, in our plant, we had a nice mix of male and female employees in labor positions. But in the office, I was the only woman at one point.
Yep.
And I have to say, my thinking is, and this is just my own opinion, so, you know, it's rooted in my personal experiences, but I've never let something like that be a problem for me.
Right.
It's not a problem for me. And if it's a problem for someone else, I can't give them the power by letting it now make it a problem for me also. So, and I have to say, I'm so fortunate, because in our organization, it was never a problem for anyone.
Yeah.
And as we added to the team, we always focused on finding the best person for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at a point where it's so gratifying. We're at a point where now we have, I would say, 50% female leadership, and our company has grown leaps and bounds. So, I mean, we probably have, you know, 20 to 30 leadership roles, directors, senior managers, managers, that are occupied by women.
Yeah, and that's again, fantastic, right?
And again, these opportunities were awarded based off of merit, based mm-hmm. off of the fact that they were the best person for the job, yeah. not that they were female. So for me, it's amazing to be able to say that we've provided, like you said, we provide the opportunity.
Yep.
And now it's up to the individual to rise to the occasion.
Right, and bring solutions to the problems yes. and whatnot. But, you know, I think, you know, years ago, as business was what it was. And I think, you know, what made a difference is as more and more women came into the workforce, we naturally are multitaskers,
yes.
right? And I think that helps us a lot. We're able to do multiple things and handle a lot of detail-oriented events and work and whatnot, where that might not be the best skill for someone who has a vision or someone who's working on growing that business. And I think that allowed women to be able to come in and learn businesses and be able to offer the skill sets that they have. And then with that, you know, as they're being taken underneath the wing of other people within that business, they get to learn more, do more, be able to, you know, get things on a better path. And, you know, it really did make change, and it allowed women to become more confident in what they do. And it doesn't matter if it's supplements or pharmaceuticals or if they work in an office, it's the same thing. I think we were just given some really good opportunities to be able to spread our wings if we wanted it.
That's a good part to add, right? Yeah. If you guys actually want it, yeah, there's just opportunities there now.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I will tell anyone, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you need to know exactly what you want, exactly what your expectations are, what you're willing to give up, and how long you're willing to give things up. And if you don't have the answers to those questions, you need to rethink about becoming an entrepreneur. So, you know, there's a lot of questions out there. You need to understand your skill sets, and you need to understand your weaknesses. And if those six things, if you don't have an answer for those six things, you need to stay a 9-to-5 hour worker Monday through Friday until you understand those answers.
Oh, that resonates deep.
Well said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, because this isn't easy, you know? This isn't easy.
No one ever told us it wasn't going to be easy, right? Right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about things that are going to be different at Bakery Barn. I know that at About Time and at SDC, there's mm-hmm. different products that are coming out, keto stuff. I'm sure mm-hmm. keto is a big thing that comes
Huge.
Up at Bakery Barn
Tons
right now.
Tons of requests, yeah. And it's a little harder in the bar space.
So are you guys doing fat bombs?
So we're doing some fat-based bars mm-hmm. That have high fat content, higher than anything we've ever made before, nut butter-based, mm-hmm. nut inclusions. But I imagine it's a lot harder in the bar space maybe than in powders, right? Because you have to have solids and liquids. And I'm not a formulator. I don't play one on TV. So, I mean, I'm going to sound like an idiot compared to anything you have to say, Devney. But like I was saying, I think that in the bar space, it's a little tricky, right? Because you have to make something that's shelf stable, ready to eat, and can hold its shape for a period of time and, you know, not get moldy and right. be safe and all of that good stuff. But ton of requests for that. And it's not going away. A lot of people at first, I think, thought it was trendy. Mm-hmm. I think it has some staying power.
It's not the yeah. South Beach diet.
It's no, well, the Richard Simmons workout.
So I know I'm the Richard Simmons workout. Oh, okay. So I know I'm heading to Expo West this week, right?
Oh, cool.
And I know we're gonna see stuff with CBD. We're gonna see Huge. Stuff that's plant based. Mm-hmm. Obviously keto. I mean, are there any products like that that the CBD or plant-based play a role in Bakery Barn?
You know, CBD we've looked at, and I don't know what you guys have touched with that. It seems like there's still some regulation that's kind of working yep. out. So we're just holding back, being cautiously optimistic.
But there's demand there for that? You have customers yes. asking for bars?
I've had quite a few. And actually at the Arnold, there was a lot of CBD products that were mm-hmm. being shown there, more so like oils and spices and things.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of plant-based. And actually to touch back on your prior comment, ingredients have come so far that plant-based products are tasting really good these days.
Right, right. Yep, absolutely.
I remember the first time I had plant-based protein, mm. I was like, this is not going to work for me.
No,
I can't do it.
Yeah.
But now they're actually not that bad.
No, they're not bad.
I still prefer, you know, something that comes from Bessie, but
yeah,
right. But for right now,
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. You know, I tell people all the time, if you're a whey user, you need to really think about plant-based before you do it. Get a sample, try that out, because, you know, not many people can do both, and most people can't make the switch. So.
Okay. So last question. Is there any advice that you would want to give a female that wants to start up her own supplement company or bar company or anything like that?
Well, so Devney's six questions were amazing. And you have the inside track as a business owner. I'm just, I don't want to say just, but I'm a woman who runs a business, right? But I, not an entrepreneur, did not go out and do what you did. So definitely considering the sacrifice, whether you're starting a business or you want to be a leader in a business, thinking about that sacrifice, because there's a lot to be given up, but there's also a huge reward, right? So nothing gained, nothing ventured. But I would also say, just, you know, back to our earlier point about women in business, don't let it be a problem for you. Don't let it hold you back. Don't have a, and this may be controversial to say, but a victim mentality. Get out there and figure out what your aspirations are, and don't let it hold you back.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, if I could say anything, the one point is you need to know what you want. And it doesn't matter if you want to be a CEO. It doesn't matter if you want to own your own business. It doesn't matter if you want to run a nonprofit. And it doesn't really matter if you want to be a 9-to-5-hour employee. If you know what you want, you can then set goals and reach for those goals, and you can continue to grow from there. And then you never know what will happen. You might, you know, come out of your shell a little bit, and you might say, hey, I think I like managing my own schedule, and I want to start a small business and grow, and, you know, all those good things. Mm-hmm. But really understanding what you personally want and having a great support system for those goals.
Well, guys, that wraps up the episode. Thank you so much for coming on down, Leslie.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This was a blast, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.